This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is upon us. It is Election Day. Feels like we've been leading up to it, well, for a very long time. And since it's Election Day, it means it's your last chance to cast your ballot. Although tens of millions of people across the country have already done so through early voting, mail-in, absentee ballots. We're going to talk about the election throughout the hour. Here with us now is Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Senator Warren, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So let's start about voting. I saw political reporting that you cast a ballot in person in Cambridge today. Is that correct? And how was it?
Oh, listen, it was old school. You know, I've been out there encouraging people to vote early, and it's been wonderful. We've gotten so many people to the polls and absentee. But Bruce and I have always voted at the little elementary school just down the block, and we love to walk down there. So it worked out for us to be able to go. I have to say it was perfectly safe. And there was something truly wonderful about being there with the poll workers. Everybody had on a protective gear. It was all set up to handle the minimum number of things. But a reminder how hard we work to make sure that voting still works in this country, that every American citizen has a chance to vote, and then that every ballot cast gets counted. And that's the whole beating heart of our democracy.
You know, I wanted to ask you, you were a candidate in this race earlier on. Did it feel different to cast a ballot in this election in some way than in others in which you voted?
No. What it felt like was, this is our chance to make Donald Trump a one-term president. This is our chance to take away the veto from Mitch McConnell and turn our Senate from red to blue. This is a chance to elect progressives up and down the ballot. And so I just felt like, as I was, you know, filling in those little circles with my black pen, I just felt like this is truly power in America. Enough of us get together and say, this is the America we want to build, not the racist America, not the divisive America, not the America that leaves so many people behind, not the America where Mitch McConnell won't even let us get help to people who are unemployed and to our hospitals that are trying to deal with COVID and to our public schools that need to reopen. This is the America that we want to build together. I filled in those little black dots, and I felt really good about it.
You talked a minute ago about the importance of everybody getting to cast their vote and have it counted. And I know you know that we've heard a constant drumbeat, especially in the last few weeks. This could be a longer process than we're used to. The results might be unclear late into the night, tomorrow, several days. How do we make sure we maintain peace and stability throughout this entire process until we're all confident we have a result?
So I think of democracy as having multiple parts to it. Part one is what we're finishing up today, and that is the opportunity for everybody to vote. Polls are still open in Massachusetts until 8 o'clock. If you don't know where to go, go to iwillvote.com, and you can get information and vote. And then that's going to close, and then we're going to go to every ballot cast gets counted. And in a democracy, that sometimes takes a while, and especially this time because so many people voted early and there are delays in when those can be counted. And so we just have to be patient. But democracy is worth it. So we're going to be calm and we're just going to keep remembering. The key is everybody gets a chance to vote and every vote gets counted, and we're going to wait until we've heard. And I just think we have to keep repeating that because it's so important.
So let's stay with those results then for a minute. If Donald Trump is reelected as president of the United States, what is your message to American voters?
Well, that we hang in there for our values. And our first value is our democracy. Our first value is that we go with what the majority of people in this country want. Okay, I know the purists out there are going to say, no, it's actually the Electoral College and so on, but you know what I mean, that we put our faith in each other. That's what it means to be a democracy. But, you know, there's another part to that democracy, too, and that is whether Donald Trump wins or Joe Biden wins. And that is we don't all go home once the election has been called. You know, here's my plan. I'm hoping that once it's all called, that I'm out there celebrating, you know, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won, and, of course, that Eddie Markey won, and that we turned the Senate blue and expanded our lead in the House. Celebrate for a day, but then get right back in the fight. Because I think what we've come to understand in the past few years is that we can't just elect people in a democracy and think, okay, now the machine will run of itself. We have an obligation as citizens and a right as citizens to stay engaged, to stay involved, and to hold our elected officials accountable. So Joe and Kamala get elected, then, boy, we need to be talking about canceling student loan debt and attacking the climate crisis head on and talking about when are we going to get the universal child care and universal pre-K for every three-year-old and four-year-old and protection and expansion of health care for all of our citizens. Those are the things we have to be fighting for aggressively because that's why we voted. That's what brought us to the polls. And that's going to keep us in the fight even after this election is announced, even after the new people are sworn in, because we want our elected officials to make this country work, not just for a handful of rich people, not just for racists. We want to make it work for everyone.
Let's talk about the Democratic Party for a minute. A minute ago there, you laid out what was kind of a blue vision of how the election might turn out, with everyone from Senator Markey to Biden and Harris winning. Vice President Biden has run. Vice President Biden has run really as a moderate. And there are going to be, if he wins, Americans who feel that he has not been progressive enough and are worried that he was too much of a compromise. And there are going to be Americans who feel that he borders on what they would call socialist and is going to be too progressive. What do you expect, and how do we come together as a country across those ideological lines with a Joe Biden presidency?
You know, I'm a lot less interested in the labels than I am in what we actually get done. So think of it this way. Universal child care, universal pre-K, canceling student loan debt, expanding Social Security, reining in the influence of money in Washington, attacking climate change. Those aren't just the views of a small handful of Americans. That's things that the majority of Americans support, Democrats, Republicans, and independents. So if we focus on the things that touch people's lives, the things that the American people want to see us do, I think we can make this work because I think it's about the things that draw us together, not the things that pull us apart.
Let's talk about the Senate. You're in the U.S. Senate. We know Democrats are hoping to take back the majority in the U.S. Senate. Should that happen, what do you think should be the top priority once the new Congress is sworn in?
Well, we got to make it more functional. Partly, that means that we need to beat back the influence of money, of giant corporations. And partly, it means we can't let Mitch McConnell have veto over everything that happens in the Senate. And if he tries, then it's going to mean getting rid of the filibuster, in my view. Look at what happened to President Obama. Even when we had a majority in the Senate in his last years in office, Mitch McConnell just said no, 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 and the Senate Republicans backed him up. So even from a minority position, he kept things from happening. Things that the American people wanted to see us do, like improving health care, making investments in infrastructure, improving access to voting, making sure that we updated the Voting Rights Act, things that for decades would have been bipartisan things to do. And Mitch McConnell was straight down the line, no, no, no. So
I wonder, though, Senator, ending the filibuster, I understand that it breaks a logjam, but does it take any steps towards returning us to a bipartisan Congress? Because in the end, isn't that actually the goal? And how would ending the filibuster get us to a new era of bipartisanship?
Well, let me put it the other way around. If Mitch McConnell refuses to let us go forward on things that the American people want to see, like a COVID relief package, 5 months now, he has blocked a COVID relief package of any form. Remember, the Democrats passed it in the House, even negotiated with the White House, and Mitch McConnell just simply said, no, we're not passing anything. You think that brought us closer to bipartisanship? No, not at all. What I think will bring us closer to bipartisanship is when we pass the things that the American people want to see us do. When we pass the relief so that our public schools can open safely. When we get government functioning again, then I think we move to bipartisanship. But remember, the goal of Congress, of elected officials, is about serving the American people, not just serving one party, but serving the American people. If we get back to doing that, or let me put it this way, if we go forward to doing that, then I think that's how we start to solve the problems in this country. And this negative, I'm not going to let you do anything that Mitch McConnell has done for years now, I hope at that point begins to dissipate.
Which policy issue do you see as having the greatest opportunity for being something bipartisan that everyone can rally around? I got to tell you, I would have expected it to be another round of stimulus money. And yet you just noted that McConnell is not prepared to let that go forward until January 2021. So where is the policy issue that this body, this Congress, or some version of it that will come around in January can really, everyone can get behind it?
Okay, so I actually do think it's addressing the pandemic. And that means stimulus money, people who are unemployed, you know, the additional bump on their incomes, small businesses, restaurants. Oh, God, I'm worried about our restaurant industry. Getting our public schools open, state and local governments, so they don't have to lay off thousands and thousands of people. Remember, it's not that we couldn't get a bipartisan majority to pass that. It's that Mitch McConnell never lets us vote on it. Because if we did vote on it, I believe there are both Republicans and Democrats who would vote on it. I believe we would have a bipartisan majority, regardless of who's in the majority, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. Now, I think we get all the Democrats, and I think we wouldn't get nearly as many of the Republicans, but it would be bipartisan. And that's really my point. Mitch McConnell is not winning these fights by saying 51 Republicans don't want any help for dealing with COVID-19, don't want any money to go to increased testing and personal protective equipment. Nope. What he says is for political reasons, he's not going to permit any vote at all. And with no vote in the Senate, we can't move anything through Congress. And so that's why I talk about we may have to, if he tries that, we'll have to break the logjam.
What do you hear from constituents in Massachusetts about what they need in stimulus money? What are the priorities that you think Massachusetts voters need out of a package?
Well, I think the first one is testing. We're doing really well. We do a lot of testing here in Massachusetts, but quite frankly, not nearly enough. And I think this is part of the problem of never having had a federal plan, that we are 8 months into this pandemic, and the Trump administration and the Republicans in the Senate just have no plan at all. So we need testing, contact tracing. We need money for small businesses. We need help particularly for our restaurants, for businesses that are in arts and entertainment. Many of them have gone into what I understand they now call hibernation, but are not sure if they're going to be able to survive and come out the other side. They're going to need help to get open again. So we've got to get the pandemic under control. People are not going to sit in restaurants if the pandemic is raging. It's not a question of the government deciding to shut it down. It's the reality. But we also need to get help out to those small businesses. We need to get help to our hospitals, to our public schools, a lot of our colleges and universities. This has been a terrible budget blow for them. And for our state government, you know, we're in a big hole here in Massachusetts, and it's true in all around the country. And the last thing you want to do when you're in an economic recession is have state and local government forced to lay off teachers and firefighters and municipal clerks. That's not what we want to do. It's bad for individual families, but it's bad for the operation of government, but it's also just plain old bad for the economy. So that's how I see it right now. People want to see us spending money on things that are helpful and good and moving forward on that.
Let's talk about economic policy. It's been widely reported that you have been advising Vice President Biden on it. Politico reported last week that three Democratic officials had spoken with folks in your inner circle who said you would seek the Treasury Secretary position in a Biden administration if you were elected. Is that something you are either interested in or would accept if it were offered to you?
I have to tell you, I have put in so much energy over the past several months, like many other people, all aimed toward this day, all aimed toward getting out the vote and continuing to get it out, and now, of course, making sure that we get all those votes counted. I have stayed focused here and not on what's going to happen after this. We just have this amazing chance right now to make Donald Trump a one-term president, to put Joe Biden in the White House, to flip the Senate, and that's where my attention has stayed.
What is your message to the voters of Massachusetts right now? Not just about Election Day, but, boy, we are in a remarkable time, and it's a hard time. What do you want people to know?
That when we come together and fight for our values, that we can build a better America. We can build an America that works for people, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their religion, regardless of the zip code they were born in or their family's economic circumstances. That this is a moment of such opportunity that we could build an America in which every single child is loved, every single child is safe, and every single child has real opportunity to build a future. That's why I'm in this fight.
That is Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Senator Warren, really appreciate you taking the time for Radio Boston today. Thanks.
Thank you.